As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshay, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshay is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshay has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
Just a Thought by James T. Deshaies. There is never a perfect time to step out on faith. It would always require risking the safety of where you are at that very moment. But one will never be completely happy when their dreams are not being reached. The higher the dreams, the greater the risk. When the right opportunity makes itself available, you have to close your ears to the naysayers and move forward beyond your dreams. Visit wealthdaddysystem.com. That's www.wealthdaddysystem.com. Wealthdaddysystem.com. Push yourself beyond your fears, and you'll reach your dreams.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. And as always, you know I'm proud and happy and overjoyed to be here and be given the opportunity to talk to you about the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. And today is no different. We're going to continue our conversation that we were having Saturday about what it is means, what the future holds for us as Americans as we look and deal with what took place in Virginia. It is obvious that we cannot deny that there were a lot of different things that were taking place during this event that certainly speaks to where the direction our country is going in. The way our president responded, the fact that he initially saw no need to be specific about what happened in Charlottesville, how he tried to dismiss the evilness that was brought to bear by the white supremacists, but tried to just put it on all sides, as he said, that all sides were responsible. And ultimately, he had to come back and retract that statement. So we need to talk about, you know, where we go from here, what the differences were in the way that the people were handled, and whether or not we believe that this is going to continue across our country in terms of the way that things were happening. I'm going to go to D, you first, and tell me, what are your thoughts about what took place and the impact that it's going to have on our country as a whole?
Well, thank you, James. Thank you for coming to me, and thank you for the show, and I really did anticipate this topic. Let me say, first of all, that, you know, God works in funny ways. And what I mean by that is, you know, if we look at our history, especially as black people and during the civil rights movement, I mentioned about a month ago that if we want to have our cause really heard, then we have to have white people within our ranks. Because what that does, that really gets the national attention that you're looking for. Now, when I say that God works in funny ways, you know, had that person died, had that been a black person, we would have heard some outroar about it, and we would have heard some people being real uneasy about it. But within a week's time, it probably would have died off. But as it turns out, the person that died was white. Now, what that's going to do is that's going to keep it in the forefront for a lot longer period. It's going to be a nationwide uproar, probably, or even internationally. And so, and then Donald Trump, being who he is, he's going to keep stepping right in it. And then the other Republicans are going to have to jump ship behind this. So this may be a pivot point, maybe a turning point. But I'm not going to be with y'all alone, but I just want to say this right here before I go. When you're dealing with Donald Trump, it's like dealing with a madman that before he get caught by the police, he'll burn the whole house down. And so with this thing with North Korea and all this rhetoric pertaining to them, that seems to be the pattern that he's following. Thank you, James.
All right. It is very uncomfortable to see that our president seemingly does not know how to handle himself in any given situation. He is just not the kind of person that you want. And when there is a issue of major concern, and certainly he is always constantly having to retract himself when he gives a statement initially, and his statements initially are always lackluster and never to the point. Tyrone, what is your thoughts related to this issue, and how is things are going to go on from this point on related to our country?
Well, first of all, Mr. Deshay, thank you for inviting me, allowing me to come on to participate. I missed the group for a couple of days, and I really felt it. We have a chaotic situation. We're out of control. The whole world is out of control, and the Bible talks about this, how there're going to be wars and rumors of wars, and children gonna be turning against their parents, the parents gonna be turning against them. And so we're seeing the effects of it. But I didn't get a chance to watch TV that much in the last couple of days. I've just been really, really tied up. But I also had an opportunity to preach yesterday. What was I getting ready to say? We have a president that's a nut, a stone nut. And he doesn't know what he's doing. But one of the things I noticed just today, I think, got a glimpse of television. I noticed that there were police on one side and there were whites, because I didn't see any African Americans. I'm sure they had some. But if African Americans had been pushing against the police like that, we'd have had I don't know how many African Americans dead, injured, destroyed. I also think about that, as nasty as this president is and disrespectful, how is it that 51% of white women voted for this nut and 13% of African Americans voted for this nut? And we knew, Hillary Clinton gave us a preview. She warned us that this man was a known racist. His father was a Ku Klux Klansman, and it's documented he was arrested as a Ku Klux Klansman. Donald Trump is known for housing discrimination, mistreating black people. How could we even put somebody like that in the office? But But then you think about what the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about these times are coming. And we think we've seen it. We think we've seen something. We haven't seen nothing yet. You know, it's almost certain that it's going to be a World War III. It's almost certain because you have little boys and old men playing games with the lives of people in the world. And so we're just going to have to be prayed up. You know, there could be wars, but I think the only thing that's really keeping this world together right now is you have so many people around the world praying. People are praying. People are scared. People are afraid. And so many people are praying. If people weren't praying in the world, I think this world would have come to an end. And so we just going to have to stay prayed up. I don't know what we can do. And the only way we can get this nut out of office is to, he's a nut too. He's a professional nut, bona fide and certified nut. The only way we're going to be able to get him out of office is impeachment. So I'll shut up and let somebody else talk, and I'll come back and add my little 2 cents.
Regina, I'm coming to you because I know that we have a lot of involvement with trying to figure out where we are going as a nation, and you've had monuments and statues moved in your area of South Carolina. Did it ever come to this when they were, you know, I know no one was murdered per se, but was it this kind of division, and was it mostly whites against blacks, or were whites involved in the pushback of whites in your area?
Are you asking when the monuments were removed, was it this type of?
Right, when the monuments were removed.
Okay. I think the most memorable movement was when the flag was removed from in front of the State House, or actually the back of the State House, when it was taken down and it was supposed to go to a Confederate relic room. And yes, there were protests there. But I will always say to you all, South Carolina, after they had those few years of something just consistently happening, our police forces, well, at least here in Columbia, are well trained, and more so than being trained with their guns and things, they're really trained in negotiations and community relations. So when things like this start to happen, as I was listening, you didn't see the police officers in Charlottesville between the protesters because they were not proactive. So they reacted and retreated to go and get more of their gear to come back after they saw what these folk were carrying. So I said that to say we had this, but we had our officers ready. Last night, State House, night before last, Saturday night, we were at the State House, and there was a small group of us. It was about maybe 100. But the whole State House was surrounded by police officers. Now, tonight, there's a bigger crowd, so there's more of a heavier police presence there. So instead of being reactive, they are proactive. We just had this same group of people here last year. It was horrible. But did they get to this point? The police had to surround the alt-right and send them back to the garages, to their cars. You saw grown men with urine running down their legs. So we have it. We're expecting it now because there's a flag that they are refusing to remove in Orangeburg, James. They're refusing
to remove
that.
So my little college town, they're refusing to remove a flag?
Yes, in your little college town. And it's about as big as, and you know I'm numbers challenged, but like if you maybe cup your hands and put a circle, you know, put your arms in a circle in front of you, the little patch of land is that large, and it has a pole with a flag on it. The sad thing is this flag sits in front of an ice cream shop where children go. They wanted it removed. The alt-right said, this is our piece of land. And you know they won? So this flag is still up there. It's getting ready to be something else down there after Charlottesville. It's going to be something that's going to jump off about that. So, yes, we have it, especially after Bill and Rules. Oh, my God. We had people wanting to drive up to Charlottesville just because.
Well, we're going to get we talked about this Saturday, so I'm trying to go to everybody who didn't have a chance to discuss it Saturday because only Joyce and Cheryl were on the show on Saturday. So we're going to go to everybody and continue our conversation. RJ, what do you think of this this situation where now you've had a white female who has been killed by this Nazi sympathizer, and it's been suggested that this will stay in the news a lot longer because of her being a white female and the fact that she was ran down by the behavior of a white supremacist.
Well, marvelous Monday to everyone, and I agree with your statement completely. I have said previously that one of the main key items of enacting white males to act is you do something to their white female. I think Tyrone had mentioned several shows ago, you know, what will it take? Why is it that sometimes our counterparts just feel like they are so against us, just this hatred or dislike for us? And my response is because when it starts including the white female interacting with the black males, that's when things really, you know, start to happen and they felt that, you know, they were losing control. So, yes, now that this happened to a white female, we'll hear more about it, that's for sure. But it's really unfortunate that the president of the United States, didn't respond on his own accord, from my opinion, on something as significant as this and truly continue to divide the country.
Well, he soft-pedaled it and tried to suggest that the evilness and bigotry was going around, that it wasn't coming from any one direction. And certainly we all are aware that that wasn't the case. And here it is, he had to come back and retract himself. And normally it is always the case where he tries to soft-pedal so that he doesn't step on the feet of a part of his base. And it is easily recognizable that he and his cronies try to soft pedal who is responsible for this hatred that we see. Joyce, what, you know, we talked about this Saturday, but a lot of things have happened since then. What is your thoughts as you see how still not a whole lot of people have come out in condemnation of Donald Trump from the Republican Party about his initial response?
Well, first of all, I'm just so grateful that things didn't turn out worse than what it was over the weekend, because it could have been a bloodbath. And the reason why I say that is because they had so many weapons, and I'm just so grateful that it just turned out. And I hate that some of the ones who did get hurt, and my condolences to the young lady who was deceased behind this. But like Andre said, sometimes it takes a white person to bring things to the forefront. Now, as far as Trump taking a couple of days to come forward, no. When Trump came up that first day, that was the Trump. That was the true Trump. He had to be forced to come out today to retract. But what you saw on the first day that he got up to the podium and said his expression and did not denounce the Ku Klux Klan and all the other groups, that was Trump, the real deal Trump. Not only that, is that he know that he started all of this. He have unleashed the lions. And this group in Regina State, it was just one group, but these are several groups that have come together, and this was pre-planned, which probably got this community off guard, because the black policeman spokesperson today indicated that they were looking for all of them, that this group, they supposed to be coming from one direction, from one gate. But he said that they start coming from three different directions. So that caught them off guard, unprepared to really for what it was that they were dealing with. But this is going to go on in all different states, because they just indicated that it's supposed to happen again in Texas and in another state that they mentioned. But I'm assuming that these groups are groups that now that they have combined as one, and they tend to go from state to state, and it always be somewhat of an uproar, but this has been the worst that it has ever been. But Trump sent a message, and like the young lady said today on SMNBC, that they've been talking in codes throughout this whole 6 months. And what he did was he gave them carte blanche when he did not come out and denounce them totally, that he disagreed, that he don't represent them. He never did say that, and he did not say that today, per se. And what he did, and they've been giving him accolades on the internet all day today. They say, now, it was a black gentleman today who resigned from his councilman, and I'm assuming that he's over Merck pharmacist. They say it took him 2 hours to come back on that guy, on the black dude, and say that, good, I'm glad you're gone. I hope now that you concentrate on lowering your prescription prices. It took him 2 hours to do that, but it took him 2 days to come forth. And to me, in his delivery today, it made it seem as though he was forced to say something that he really didn't even mean, because in the end, the reporter asked him what you would have done something better, why did it take you so long? He turned around and told, it was CNN reporter, that that they were fake news. So in other words, what he had just said on the podium, it dismisses everything of his true self by him walking away. He still, you can easily get under his skin, and he explodes. So that's what he triggered him today, right after he's supposed to have made a good comment. You know, this guy's off the chain, totally off the chain.
It is horrifying to see a president continue to defame our press. And all of us should know our press is, you know, sometimes the press gets it wrong, but the press is out there to give the word to all of us. And I think they try to do the best that they can related to giving us the full truth. But as our president continues to talk against them, when we all know that he's a liar, I'm not sure how in the world where we go to when we see this barrage of ugliness being hurled from one person, from the president towards the the press and the press back toward the president. Cheryl, what are your thoughts related to how this is playing out and how we seem to have gotten to a place that just is chaotic in terms of the way people are behaving?
Good afternoon to everyone. I hope everyone is having a blessed day. I did have a chance to look at the video of the link that you sent out, and I just felt like he was trying to backtrack, you know, himself and come up with excuses. And then I was reading as well that he had to praise himself before he even addressed the issue, and then compare himself to President Obama. You know, I'm just going to say it in a nice way, but this man really has issues. I really believe that he has some type of mental problem, and that he's a ticking time bomb. He's really not dealing with the issues at hand. And what's going to happen, just like everybody keeps saying, it's going to explode. I mean, this situation is going to get worse before it gets better. Now, what we can do, and just like I had mentioned on one of our other, you know, one of the other shows as we were talking, you know, I pray for him every day because, you know, the decisions that he's making, it's affecting all of us in one way or another. And with this rally going on, I mean, you have loose cannons out there. And just what happened to this young lady and to the other one, you know, the one dying and the other ones getting injured. I mean, this is, to me, is just the tip of the iceberg of what actually could happen. Because, see, now they are furious with Trump. So it's going to intensify the situation even more. That's how I see it.
It is very difficult to – we're going to go on break and we'll come back. I want to get started with my statement until I come back after break. So let's go on break and then we'll come back.
Farmers, help your children. The road and teach them to love one another, that heaven might find a place in their heart. 'Cause Jesus is love. Down. And I know he lies forever in my heart. We've got to walk on, walk on through temptation, 'cause his love and his wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth and his word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful. The Jesus is love.
Just a thought, January 30th, 2017. I am a Democrat. I will be a Democrat beyond the existence of my physical being. I am a liberal because living in the past does not work for those that I serve. I believe in liberal causes because as I better understand the world, I understand the need for change. I live to honor humanity, to serve people who seem unable to grasp the life we should all have. I see the inequity of treatment and desire to see it abolished. The need for the blind to see has never been more necessary. Those who fight for the status quo cling to an era that turns the invisible visible. Embracing wrong can never give one a positive result. The fight for the weak can never be seen as embracing the defeat. We have to rectify the issues that are created by the human trait of racism and supremacy. My God is the creator of all things and the maker of humanity. My view of the world is in line with my purpose as a Democrat. I will not be ashamed of my love for people and the fight to make life equal. We all deserve better opportunities to learn and the chance to live life free of infirmities. We deserve to live free of the creation of Donald Trump. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. The show is brought to you 7 days a week, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. West Coast Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and 5 p.m. West Coast Time. Call in at 657-383-0309. We no longer can reside in the shadows of life. It is a must that we be out in front of the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. This show has been established for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. Please visit my website, www.jamestdeshay.com. That's www.jamestdeshay. I look forward to you writing to me at djames82@aol.com. That's djames82@aol.com. Let me know what issues you would like to address on my radio show.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, and we're talking about our president and how he's responding to this crisis in Virginia. And the fact is that I just like Tyrone has said, I just think that our president is just incapable of dealing with the issues that are happening domestically and worldwide, that he brings so little to the table that he's constantly having to contradict himself, or he does not give me the confidence that he knows how to make decisions. And those around him are always trying to soft pedal the way he comes off. And we know that white supremacists believe that he is their leader and that he believes and promotes the same kind of ideology that they have. Tyrone, as we continue to talk about this, he gives none of us, those of us who didn't vote for him, any confidence that he can make any kind of change that would allow him to be successful in this environment.
Yeah, he actually gives us no hope. No hope. But I think the question today is, we know that we have a nut in the office, so what are we going to do about it? What can be done about it? This guy has opened up all kinds of canes, cans of worms. He's allowed these Ku Klux Klansmen to rise. And the thing about these Klansmen and neo-Nazis or whatever they are, these people are judges. These people are lawyers. These people are politicians. They're police officers. They're constables. You know, they're district attorneys. They're everywhere. They no longer have to wear the sheets and the robes or whatever they wear. They're just out here now. And I saw something just the other day. Well, it was Sunday. Somebody had sent me something. I just happened to look at my phone. I was at church. And there was a video of this police officer. And he was beating his brother and beating his brother. I had to turn it off because I had to concentrate on what I was doing in church. But I don't know what happened with that situation. But I said, look at these people. These people are, they have this superiority complex that they are so better than us. And what makes them hate us? They have taken advantage of us over 400 years. They have taken advantage of free labor. You know, free everything. They've taken everything. You know, they promised us, after slavery, they promised 40 acres and a mule. We never got that. And they continue to just abuse us. What have we really done, those people? We didn't actually come to this country. They came over and took us, made us slaves. Why is it that they hate us so much? And they're not only destroying the black man, but they're destroying our black women. I mean, they're beating our women now. And do we have any power? Are we just going to sit back and just let this happen? And the thing about it is, what could be done? That's the question. What can be done? We have to get this clown out of office, because if we don't, we're going into World War III. And here's another thing. Donald Trump has some serious, along with his whole group of cronies and people in his cabinet, has some serious legal problems. They may be trying to start a war to divert the attention on the issues. We have some serious, serious, serious problems. What are we going to do? That's the question. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to let him just continue? Because the things that he's gotten away with, the things that he's said, the things that he's caused to happen, I mean, we're all shocked. I think the whole world is in shock. But what are we going to do about it? Are we just clueless? We just don't have any power. We're powerless. Nothing can be done about it. You know, I heard David Duke says he voted for Donald Trump because Donald Trump says he's going to take it back to where it was, going to bring America back to where it used to be. And we know where it used to be. And we wouldn't know about all the things that's going on now if we didn't have all these different videos.
It is so true. Dee, let me ask you. You know, there was a time when we felt like, over time, these older men who had these antiquated way of thinking were going to be eliminated, and these young people were going to bring forth a more inclusive America. But when we have a country that went back to the likes of Donald Trump, who's shown by his actions not giving housing to African Americans, coming out against five young men who were found innocent, and did a whole page about how they needed to go given the death penalty. But when they were found innocent, he never found the need to come back and retract his statement. So obviously he's shown us that he has very little love for people of color, and we voted him into office. So it seems that we have been blind to the fact that these people still exist, still have enough power to make life a living hell for people of color.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is true. If you all heard Michael Scaramucci, he was the guy that was fired from being the White House spokesperson. He explained it real well today. He spoke about how these organizations have always been in existence. They just was in the shadows. And now, but you know, like like Tyrone said, you know, now the Klans persons, they don't have to wear the sheets now. On these back sites, on these back websites, they had started a new movement, and that new movement now is called the alt-right movement. And these are the same Klansmen. The Tea Party was supposed to be that movement, but they fell apart. And so now you got this movement. But look, you know, Tyrone has asked the question, what can we do about it? And, you know, I had to sign off for a minute. I'm not even sure Ms. Kathy is online. But, you know, short of giving in to the will of God, the presidency, as it's been noted, is the most powerful man on the planet. Having said that, he's in the human realm, he's only second to God. The president is second to God. And that's a pretty scary fact. You know, I was looking at my kids last night. I was looking at my kids play. And, you know, we've heard people say, you know, it's not a good time to bring kids into the world. But we already know that people die every day and more people are born every day. And, you know, and we're going to be here for a minute ourselves. But it's kind of scary to think about what kind of world that our young kids are going to have after all this. And lastly, I want to say this before I go, James. If Donald Trump was kicked out of office next week, the damage has already been done. Because the movement have already been started. They're out in full force. And again, it had that white woman not been killed, you may see a Klan's rally in a town near you. But fortunately enough, it's not fortunate, but it was a white person that was killed as opposed to a black person. And that's what's going to stop that Klan rally from coming to your town. Because now they're going to be up in arms to stop that from happening for a while. Thank you, folks.
Andre, we have clearly gone in reverse in terms of what we thought, at least what I thought was going to happen. When Barack Obama won the first time and won the second time, I thought we had turned the corner on race relations, and we had a highway to speed down to a better place in time. But it looks like we've done a U-turn, and we're fighting to redirect the ship. I mean, we seemingly have empowered these racist groups, and now we see men and women around the country displaying such ugliness related to their true feelings. And now we have a leadership that is slow to denounce the white supremacists and KKK.
Yeah, I didn't feel that way at all, James. And the reason I didn't was because under President Obama, it was recognized the death toll of our black men and women. And again, that was part of the fuel that was, you know, igniting the flame. That was the flame that was really igniting the fire that we're at now. And because of the fact that, you know, the leadership, that's exactly what he ran on. None of this is a surprise to us. And the reason I didn't think it also under President Obama's leadership, my mother's 98 years old, and we're so blessed to have her. But on that first election, while she wanted President Obama to win, you know, just from her heritage and stuff, she was so afraid that someone would kill him. And that's what a lot of people thought that. And, you know, this uproar that we see now, Trump's base, they're just adamant about really taking control back. They were viewed, or at least from their perception, they viewed that they had been neglected and they were no longer entitled to all the things that they viewed as as they should be entitled to. They were no longer, you know, looked to as the director and guider of everything that's going on. So when he said that, I mean, it was plain and simple to us, and we talked about this on this show, you know, want to make America great again. You know, well, what is great? And what is it if we're not great? What is that? So he's delivering on what he believed and what he promised, and he really believed, you know, what he's doing is turning it back over so that the white male, who, when we looked at diversity and went through all the training, we recognized that the white male was loose and leveraged. So it's his way of making sure that that leverage, that tide has turned again. But again, now you say, what is it that we can do? We have to take action in addition to our prayers, in addition to our discussions. It's the action that takes place that really needs to be reinforced. You know, if we're not careful, and it's not that I want to, but if we're not careful, all this stuff, it'll blow over when it's time to vote, those Republicans be the majority in both places, and again, Trump will come back for a second term. You may say, oh, Audrey, no, that would never happen. Let me just say, people who have been in politics for a long time are becoming discouraged. And I can say that because all my life I've been into politics. Our parents was involved in politics, and they set us an example and the expectation to be involved. And I know myself, I have pulled back from the notices that come asking for support and funding, and I'm frustrated. So I know if I'm at that level, people who may have been on the verge before, they surely are discouraged and may be disengaged. And we know that when we do not get out to vote, it'll end up just like what happened now. The Republicans win. They do better when it's less votes. So what we have to do is continue to communicate within our communities. Let's build each other up. Let's take some actions. Let's have a strategy in which we all support and independent. We might not necessarily like it. You know, I'm a fan of football. I like it just like the next person. But I'm not going to watch football this year unless something changed. And that's just me, but I have to feel that I'm taking a stand and I'm doing something, and I will continue to vote, but I tell you what, it's going to be a struggle. And so what we have to do is just continue to have the communication going and let people understand what's at risk so that we will vote not only in the presidential, but our local communities, because that's where we can really make a change and hold our elected officials accountable. Joyce often given out the phone numbers for us to call. I thank you for that, Joyce. I've called, and let us continue to call. Let us do emails, texts, whatever form of communication is best, you know, for each of us individually. But this is truly a time, James, for us to have our voices heard. So I thank you for this platform in addition to others.
It is, yes. It is important for us to recognize that, just like you say, everything that is worth talking about, we need to talk about, and we need to take a stance on, and we need to let people know that we're going to be fighting back. And so, Joyce, as I come to you, it's important that we don't get complacent, and we don't feel like there's no hope, because if we refuse to fight back, things definitely will not change.
That's true, and that's one reason why I think we need to call particular now, every day of the week, let our congressmen know, our senators know, that, look, this is, you're right, I appreciate for you taking your stand, and if your senator and your representative in your state has not taken that stand to denounce what happened on Saturday, you need to call him up and tell him that you would like for him to make it known, particularly known, that he has no part of what happened and that he does not stand for it, because this is not what the United States of America should be all about. You need to make that phone call. You need to leave that message, because most of the time they're letting you leave a message. If not, then they're giving you where to email. You need to do that as well. You need now. Hillary Clinton warned us of Trump. Believe me, several times when they had their debates, when she got up in front and told who we're dealing with, she told us what to look for.
She told us about the man himself, and we still kind of overlooked it. And like everybody say, and I will tell you that today, that majority of the black females, we push for Hillary. It is those white, and now, like Audrey said, now that it happened, like Dee said, to a white person, it will be in the news more so. It is something for them to now to take a look at because they have hurt one of their own. So I encourage everyone to call those numbers and really, really voice. And I would do it at least once a week or every day or whatever you feel, but you definitely let them know, hello, I'm calling. I'm letting you know that I am aware. I would like for you to represent me by going forward and voicing from this state to let you know that our state does not buy into the Ku Klux Klan, white supremacy, and no other group that is negative and that is not for the American people. That is what we can do. That is what we can do until the election. We can do that. And the more people, and particularly if they hear in a black African American voice, they know that people are engaged. We are looking, we are engaged, and those are some of the things that we can do. See, one thing about being black, may I just, and I'll cut it off. One thing about being a black person, now all these other races, more or less, you can kind of fluff it up a little bit and kind of make yourself look a different way. But when it comes to us, there's no change. You stand out. You know, we're just vulnerable. That's where we are.
All right, we're going to take another break, but we're going to come back because I want to emphasize one other thing related to what took place on Saturday. So we'll be right back.
Making love with you is all I wanna do. Loving you is more than just a dream come true. And everything that I do is out of loving you.
The significance of our lives is found in the level of commitment we have to greatness. Our Creator has planted the only seeds we need to rise above the level of mediocrity. The world needs all of us to rise above the norm. The enemy of humanity is in the wasted greatness that resides in those that refuse to care and fertilize their personal seeds of greatness.
No solutions in life's problems can be obtained without individuals being willing to bring their seeds of greatness to reality. There are too many dreams being left in the graves of the disenchanted. The joy and peace of the world should not be put at risk by our reluctance to work toward our legacies. Our families and communities need the value of all the treasures that exist within us. No blessing should remain unnurtured. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This show is here for your voice to be heard loud and clear. It is important that we do what is needed to make sure that people know what our opinions are, and this is the platform to make that possible. Please call in at 657-383-0309. Also, please visit my website at jamestdeshaies2.com. That's jamesddeshaies2.com.
It is important for us to recognize as well as these people want to emulate the worst regime in the world, in our history of the world. These people want to emulate and formulate the same kind of behavior and activities as the worst regime in the world. And so what is it can we say about these white supremacists who want to go back to Germany's description of how the world should be? I mean, we should be in turmoil related to how we're going to fight these people when they want us to emulate the worst regime in the world and to go around saying, "Hi, Hitler." Joyce, what other selection could they have made that could show the depth of their disgust for people of color and for Jewish people than to select the Nazis as their model? I mean, Cheryl, I'm sorry. Are you there, Cheryl?
I'm sorry. I'm here. Say that again, because I guess I was waiting on choice to answer what you
were saying. Well, I'm saying they have selected the worst model in the world to emulate is the Nazis. I mean, in our history, these people were the cruelest and most inhumane government ever, and we have people in America gravitating in that direction. What does that say about us and about them that they would select that kind of image to emulate?
You know, as I look and I watch what's going on and how they are doing this, I see that, you know, and we can tell racism is still fresh. And for them to go that far back and bring up that is telling us that it has been inbred from generation to generation, because you are looking at some younger generations that was at this rally, and you're looking at younger generations that are speaking out. So, you know, racism has always been alive. It might have been suppressed when President Obama was in office. But because of Trump, now we are able to see the feelings and how people are actually feeling. The true colors are really coming out. And this is learned behavior. Because you say, how would a 20-year-old or how would somebody younger than that know and feel this much of hatred if it has not been passed down from generation to generation? You know, and I guess I'm with all of the other callers. You know, right now we're in a mess. We're in total chaos.
And we have to take the necessary steps. And those steps, you know, what I, and I'm not sure who just mentioned it, about the things that we need to start doing. And to me, that's minimum. That's very minimum. And then with Tyrone, you know, said as well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do next? Are we powerless? And I don't mean that we are so powerless, but are we overpowered that do it even feel like the little we do is going to make a difference? And if it does, how long? And we need everybody to come together. So that's why I say it always starts in the home and then on a local level and then up higher until we can get, you know, there. But we're not even, you know, if we don't do anything and just sit back and watch the chaos happen, then we're not a part of the solution. We're still part of the problem.
And you're so right. You know, one of the things that Tyrone and I talked about was the fact that if we get into any kind of conflict with North Korea, hundreds of thousands of people can be lost in a day. We're talking about the kind of firepower that can destroy in one day hundreds of thousands of people. And so, and we have a person in leadership who can't be trusted. We can't trust the decision-making of this man. And Tyrone, here we are at the mercy of this man until we get him out of office.
Isn't that something? We have the mercy of this nut. This nut. He has no experience. But you know, this man must be the devil. He has to be Satan. He has to. You know, and the white man knows that his time is almost up. He knows that. He has a population decrease. But I know one of the things that we came together as a people. See, when you affect a white man's pocketbook, then you can get his attention. That's why Dr. King was killed. I know we have all our different philosophies and things like that, but they had a boycott. They had a boycott with that bus boycott. And that lasted a long time. I don't know exactly how long it lasted, but it lasted a long time. And it broke the back. It broke the back of a lot of people. And so they saw Dr. King as a man who started to deal with economics. That's why they took out Dr. King. He started dealing with economics. He had the power to say, we can call a boycott. We don't have that power today. Who are our leaders? And here's another thing. We got all these high power ministers, TV evangelists. You know, you got Joel Osteen, you got Paula White, you got Bishop Jakes, you got Creflo Dollars, and I can go on and on and on. Have we heard from them? Have we had any white televangelists come out and denounce what's going on? We have some serious, serious problems. And I'm glad, Audrey, I'm glad she brought up about the NFL because I'm not watching any football this year unless they make some changes. We could, even though the NFL is losing tons of money right now, we can shut them down if we wanted. They'd already done some research and found out black men unemployed do the most watching the football on television. And so we can actually shut that down. We can come together and not watch television. So I'm glad you brought that up because that makes a big, big difference. But boycotting. We can boycott these churches. We can boycott businesses. We could take control and take charge. And when you start affecting white people, you start getting their attention. When you affect them economically, you start getting their attention. And in terms of Donald Trump, God knows I hope he never get back in office. And I said, even before he was elected, I said it was mathematically impossible for this man to be elected. Well, I truly believe he will be impeached by Christmas unless he start a war. And I think he's willing to start a war because of his legal problems.
I went on record. I didn't believe it would happen. And certainly now it is my worst dreams, my worst nightmares are coming true. And it seems like we are just incapable of waking up. There doesn't seem a sound direction of how to wake up or what do I grab and turn the light on because we don't have a movement that seems strong enough to push him out of office. And Pence might not be any better. So it is really not sure. Andre, I know that for a long time you had suggested that this was going to come to pass or it could come to pass. But now, do you see any avenue for us to get out of this other than just hanging in here for 4 years?
I definitely think that we can do and take a stand and make things change. I do. We may be down, but we're not out. However, it will require us coming out of our comfort level, and it will require us doing something different. And the first thing to do is to start with the person in the mirror. So what I can say, what I can do, you know, one, take one. And on this show, if each of us do, and then we share with our family, our friends, and just increase that circle of action. But what I can do is ensure that I do, Joyce, call my senator and representatives and make sure that I let them know what my requests are of them as representatives for me. What I can do is I choose not to watch the NFL this season unless they do something different, they make some changes. What I can do is make sure that I'm putting enough money aside so we don't know what will happen. And in the meantime, the purchases that I do purchase, make sure that I'm taking a little extra effort and making sure that I'm supporting Black-owned businesses. Those are, three or four things there that I can easily do. And I'm committed to continue to vote. We have an election that's coming up in November, and they've already started advertising. So I will vote. I will not, get so discouraged that I just give up. I won't do that. So if we all can commit to what it is that we can do, whether we write it down and some form or fashion share with someone so that they can hold you accountable. In most cases, that's how things are truly accomplished. But those are my actions. They may be minor, but those are things that I know that I can and will do.
Joyce, as I come to you, let me get your how you think about how white America is selecting a portion or segment of white America is selecting the worst image or the worst historical government to emulate itself after. I mean, how can we possibly feel positive about this many young white people going around wanting to emulate Nazi Germany?
Well, that's because it's being embedded. It's being talked about. It's being emulated. People, this is coming from the home. This is coming from groups. And this is what, and that internet is powerful. And what we thought our young people are using the internet for, it's dangerous. That's how come we're not aware of what is going on that internet. MD is telling us all along about these backroom websites that we have no clue what is going on. Well, that's how they're communicating. They're communicating through the back door, and they just infiltrating this negativism. It's just there. It's just being uprooted and upgrown. And I remember everybody was saying that, well, you know, with these young people coming up with new ideas and everything, and we're going to get rid of all the prejudice and the racism, it is most of the young people who's doing all the damage. Look at this young kid who went into the church, had no hesitation on killing and shooting. Dude who ran over this young lady the other day, he's not what you call an old person anymore. This is what you got going on. It's just being bred. It's this backdoor
We got to get involved. We got to start communicating. And it's all about what we're communicating on the Internet. We need to start doing positive things and making our young people aware. Andre, what you can do. Now, what I can do. I can communicate with my class. My classmate of 69, we have a group that we've been so communicative as far as our classmate high school. We have people throughout the United States. So what I can do is send out an email, give them this phone number so they can express themselves to their congressman, their senator, to their state representative, and let them know how they feel. That's what we can do on a small level. I can do what you say as far as not watch football. I'm on that. But I can do that. So these are things that I can do. So I am going to take it to heart of some of the things that I can do. For those who are interested and would like to call your congressman or your state representative or your senator, that number is 855-971-2021. That's your senator. The next number is 202-224-3121. And that's who you can call. That's your representative. The first number I gave you was for your senator. So you can call those people up, let them know what you feel, what you stand for, what you voted them in for, and how you would like for them to represent you. I will call them on a weekly basis, and as things get more intense, you might want to have to call them every day. So that's what we can do on a small level. Thank you.
Cheryl, what do we say about this? You know, we thought at some point, or did you ever think that we would, that the ugly racist people would die out? But yet, just like Joyce has said, these are young people who are doing these horrific things. So if there are young people who are doing it, there's no chance that this these racist attitudes are going to die away.
Not at all. And that's just what I said as well. I mean, it's alive and well because, again, it's young people. And young people weren't born being racist. They had to been taught to be racist. And it's steady being taught. I mean, from generation to generation. But now it is in full force. It's not undercover no more because of who we have in president, you know, as our president. And everybody is just going wild. I mean, they're acting like they're crazy. And now we actually are able to see people who have been thinking and feeling, heavy feelings for a long time and have not been expressing it. And like I said before, I had a chance to see it more when the election was going on. And I mean, I was just blown away. I mean, I still feel like I haven't woke up from the night after the election and to find out that this man is really in office. But, I mean, he's here, and we have a lot of things to deal with. And just like whoever that was just now was saying, you know, that it do. We have to do something, and it starts with I. We can't expect somebody else to do it, and we can't expect to tell other people to do it, especially if we're not doing it. We have to set the example. We have to do this where it will catch on, where others are doing it as well. So that's how we have to do it right now. And I mean, and it, just like, you know, she was saying again, we have to come together. If we have to be accountable, if we have to, you know, if it's groups that have to get together and do it, you know, and put more power behind it, whatever it takes, we, and it starts with I.
All right, we're going to take our final break, and we'll come back and have our final word. So everybody get ready for that final word.
RJ, what is your final thought for this evening?
That each of us can play a role and each of us can make a difference. Let us be proud to tell our grandchildren, this is what I did in order to make the world a better place for you. And again, the things that I plan to do is not watch the NFL football season this year unless something changed. Support local businesses which have the same in common as I do. Contact my senators and House of Representatives to inform them that this is what my expectations of them are, and then to continue to communicate and discuss and help our next generation understand the importance of what's going on and how what they do make a difference as well. And thank you, James, for bringing this opportunity for our voices to be heard and then coming together with actions that we can take.
Joyce, your final thought for this evening?
I just want to piggyback on what Audrey said. I am going to make a true perfect effort into boycotting the NFL as well. I would like to comment, Mr. Lynch, the NFL football player who played on the team the other day, he set out just like in reference to the other football player in his honor. So he did not stand for the national anthem. And so kudos for that. I do plan to communicate with everyone in my email and stress to them, this is my young people, my family members, as far as my friends, everyone in my email, to let them know and send them an email to me that is important with those numbers to, for them to contact their representatives so we can start making an impact. So, and I'm going to ask them to do something too, what they can do. So thank you.
Cheryl, your final thought for this evening?
I'm going to have to echo on what Joyce and Audrey just said, and I'm going to do my part. And a very, very good show this evening. Very good show.
All right. Tyrone, your final thought for this evening.
Well, I first want to say I just so appreciate you, Mr. Deshay. For having a platform like this, I feel so honored to be a part of something like this, where we can actually come together. You know, when people come together, you don't know what you can accomplish. I also want to say, listen, white people are not going to change. It's just their nature, and their nature is superiority. I mean, you can find the poorest white person in the gutter, and they think they're better than you. I also want to say that we continue to pray for our country and continue to pray for our president. Jesus is love. That's it.
Amen.
Guys, as I always say, I appreciate your support, and it means so much to me that you call in and we are able to have these conversations and just be real about where our country is. And I hope and pray that we are able to make a difference. And Joyce, I promise you that I will be calling at least weekly to my senators and representatives, if not daily. I'm going to mark that down as something that I need to do and participate in. And I truly hope that we don't have to boycott the NFL, but if we do, I'll do my part as well. You know, football has been a part of my life, all my life, that I can remember. But if that's the sacrifice I have to make for my people, I'm more than welcome. And I think Kaepernick, I'm not pronouncing his name correctly, he deserves our support. Take care, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Take care.
Hello. I'm the music major. This is my man Jay Andre. He got a question to ask you. Talk to him, Jay.
Is there anybody in love?
all else.